We're talking about starting over with my guest today, Mary Williams. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Lee.
Life coach, mind architect. You don't mind.
I don't mind.
Giving people the skills for life is what you do. And we're starting about fresh starts today. Why might people want a fresh start?
I think that we stagnate quite a lot sometimes, either in career, personal life, any area really. And actually our brains do best when we're thriving. That's when we feel our most happy, is we're always pushing ourselves slightly out of the comfort zone. People think comfort zone is exactly where they want to be, but it's not in any way.
So it might be a practical fresh start of change of career. It might be going on a diet. It might be just putting that bad relationship behind you. That might be a relationship from a long time ago.
Yeah. I think we acknowledge that these days we change really rapidly. And I think people acknowledge that what made them happy last year or 10 years ago may not be what made them happy this year. And I think there's a lot to be said for actually staying in those jobs, relationships, etc., if you are happy. But for a lot of people, they get to the point where they've kind of done that thing. And in relationships, they also get to a point where they realise that they were in that relationship for very different reasons in the beginning than they are at the end. So, you know, fresh start, it's a great thing, but it can also be quite a sad thing sometimes.
Well, I was going to say, is it always a good idea? Because sometimes you need to take things forward with you.
I think it's so contextual, isn't it? So depending on what it is, actually, whether you want to move forward or whether you don't. And there are great things. I mean, I love it when I see sort of elderly people in the street who've been together sort of 60, 70 years. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And the same when I see people who say, you know, I've been in my career. I absolutely love my career. I've been in it for 25 years. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But if that's not what you're thinking in your relationship or your career or anything that you're doing, then why would you want to stay in that state?
So how do we go about making a fresh start? Because it is quite hard emotionally sometimes and practically on other occasions.
I think it's hard because we don't like change. And actually, I get a lot of clients say to me, oh, I don't really like change. And I say, who does? Actually, you know, who really does love change? We love it when it works well for us. And that's the only state we love it in. So when any change is hard, none of us love it. So I often see people punishing themselves because they think they're terrible at change. Actually, well, yeah, we all are. But I think, you know, it's about recognising where you're unhappy. And that's where a sort of, you know, we would sort of talk about spring cleaning. You know, for me, I try to do a yearly sort of review of my life. I try to kind of look a little bit more in depth every 3 months. And actually kind of each night I tried to do a kind of what went well today, what didn't go so well. But when you get to a point where you're recognising, you know, actually I'm really unhappy every Monday when I think about going to my work, or actually when I'm away from my partner, I'm happier than when I'm with my partner, that really is time to start thinking about change.
And I suppose it might not be wholesale change. You might think, you know, I like my job, but I really don't like this bit. I don't like, say, the management bit of it. So that might just be, well, how do I like that? How do you know, I need training, I need support.
Yeah, and I think it's quite sad that people are reluctant to ask for that support and training, and that people often do just say, I'm no good at this job. Rather than saying, actually, like you just said, it's this element of it. Maybe it's that they've got to do presentations and I see a lot of clients for that. They really hate the presentation element of their job. So they won't go for promotion because there's that element in. Rather than just saying, actually, I'm massively skilled in all these other areas. This is an area I'm uncomfortable in. There's a sort of crazy view that if you ask for help or you make yourself vulnerable, that's a weakness. And actually, it's a huge strength, isn't it, to be able to say, hang on a minute, I'm stuck and I need some help here.
Well, I suppose there is something about, if you are having a fresh start, about telling the people around you and asking for their support.
Yeah, because you might find that somebody actually in your office is extremely good at, say exactly that, at speaking. And maybe you could do a part job share where you put the information together and they actually do the presentation. Maybe they can help you prepare. And it's the same in relationships as well, isn't it? And I, you know, work as a mediator as well. And I think actually, you know, people saying in their relationship, you know, we still love each other, but it's not quite working, or I'm not getting on with this work colleague. Actually, why would you not ask for help to resolve a situation? There is, you know, huge strength in asking for that.
Is there something also about managing expectations? Because a fresh start might be a good thing, but it doesn't mean that suddenly you're going to be employee of the year or be in the happiest relationship ever.
I always say, and this is just my personal opinion, but I often say to people when they end a relationship that I think it's 2 years until you feel better. And that's just something I've acknowledged from myself, but also from lots of people around me, that it seems that, you know, life gets better, but even if you're the one that's chosen to end something, you're still going to feel sadness, whether that's a career change. And lots of people do miss elements of their colleagues and their workplace. And in a relationship as well, you're still going to miss the things that did go well.
That's quite a long time, isn't it?
It is a long time. I don't think it's, I don't think people feel misery for 2 years. But I think 2 years later, most of the people I've known have been able to say, you know, I'm actually back to being kind of who I feel I should be. I'm completely okay with this. Whereas I think in the first sort of 6 months to a year, there is still quite a lot of grief, even for those people who've been the one that have chosen to leave. And I know that crews, you know, the people who do bereavement counselling, they say it takes at least 2 years to get over someone dying.
And I suppose what you have to hold on to is the fact that it's getting better.
It's getting better.
Easier every day.
Yeah, and I think that is. It's a question of waking up today saying, you know, today probably isn't going to be as hard as it was yesterday. And another thing I say to people is, I think when you're working through this stuff and you're being proactive in that, the gaps between you having a low, they start to space out more. So I often have a really interesting thing where clients about six weeks in will say, oh my gosh, I feel terrible, this terrible thing has happened. And I'll say, it was an interesting, what's actually happening is positive, because when you're living at, say, 8 out of 10 on a stress level, you probably didn't notice that little thing happening. But because you've done so much work on yourself, you've moved down, say, let's say a 2 or 3 out of 10, you suddenly notice the 8. So the 8 actually is probably normal for you. It's just that you're noticing it. So I have to say to them, although it feels negative, you have to view it as a positive, because what it's saying is, hey, but most of the time I'm now living at 2 or 3 out of 10, not 8.
Well, I suppose there is something there about checking yourself all the way. If you make a fresh start, you know, is this what I want? Mm. Am I happy?
Mm. And I think, again, I would say that it's about a route, not a destination. And if you go out in your car and you want to go somewhere and you go down a dead end, you turn around and you just go a different way. You know, if you think of, you know, apps that you have, they just reroute you. And I say to people, try to think of your life like that, that actually you might be halfway getting where you think you want to go before you think, I don't want to go there, actually. My route's changed. And a lot of people, they get frightened at that stage and think, oh my gosh, you know, my plan's gone, what am I going to do? Why be frightened? Why not just think, oh great, okay, so I've learned what I need to learn up to this point. Now where do I want to go? Think of it like that.
Well, you have to find different resources in yourself then, don't you? That's courage, and we're always going back to confidence.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's just not being so fixed. I think especially with the pressures on us these days, we live in a very black and white world, and it's about allowing yourself to live in the grey, allowing yourself to live in a space of, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing, but today I'm going to do this, and being okay with that, so that you have a sort of an overarching idea of, I might be headed this way. But actually, some people don't, and it's okay to say, wake up today, decide what you need to do, as long as, you know, you've got food and shelter. Go with what you want to do, because you're probably just learning something on a day-to-day basis.
Do you see many people doing this then? Do you see many people making life changes?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when they come to me, they tend to be thinking, you know, this thing is wrong enough for me to want to come and see someone. I do have some people who come in going, everything's great and I want more of greatness. But
they're
just
greedy.
Yes, exactly. but it's people coming in saying, you know, this isn't working for me and how can I make it work? And I think we do live in a culture of change, I think, these days. And for me, actually, sometimes my work is about slowing people down and saying, do you really need this change? Is this really a change you want? Are you feeling pressured into making this change? You know, some people actually really like their job and they want to stay in it for 20 years and they're pushed by their company to move. So it's actually saying, well, you know, have you talked to your company about the fact you love your job and you're great at it? So I think within this culture of change, we've lost that ability to just be ourselves.
And presumably people can make these changes at any stage in their life.
Yeah.
You may be more entrenched in your ways, but there's no reason why you can't make a change at 55.
I think age is all about attitude, if I'm honest. I trained with somebody last year who was, you know, 84. There's a lovely...
To become a life coach.
To become a life coach, yes. And I think, you know, there's people parachuting in their 80s. I think the Iron Nun, they call her, who's running marathons. I think she's 90-something. I personally think age is all in the mind. I think if you want to make a change, make a change. Don't write yourself off because you're 60 or 70 or, you know, even 80 or 90.
Well, let's finish it there. That's a lovely positive note to finish on. If people want to find out more about your work, it's Mari, which is M-A-R-I hyphen Williams.com.
Yeah.
And as well as individual work, you do work with companies as well.
I do, yes. Yeah, yeah. Working with companies and running workshops and things too.
Lovely to speak to you as ever, Mari. We will chat to you again in about a month's time.